Take your Bible, Psalm 119 this morning, Psalm 119, and we're going to begin a new study today, and I'm excited about this. I think it's something that's ultra important. It's something that it's been a little while since I have taught on, but nonetheless, I think it's something that we need to continue to keep in front of us. It's something that's very practical, something that will impact our day-to-day life, or at least I hope that it will. In 1940, there were two people who co-authored a book, and that book was called How to Read a Book. How many of you have ever heard of this book before, How to Read a Book? Okay. Now, at face value, that sounds kind of elementary, okay? How many of you would just, you know, well, sign me up. I want to read that book on how to read a book. I mean, this sounds like it could be something that was presented to kindergartners, right? And yet, it was written to people just like you and I. And I will say this, that the longer I live, the more I read, the more I have seen the significance of a book like that. The authors broke down your approach when you're reading about a certain topic. Just practical things that when you go to read, help you better read and better process. And we're going to jump into a study that, again, at maybe face value, seems very elementary. But at the same time, I think it's something that we often overlook or we don't even think about. And so this morning we're going to begin a study that's called this, How to Read the Bible, or Making the Most of the Treasure in Your Hand. Okay, I have edited this book here, How to Read, and then I threw that on top there. Okay, you guys wouldn't know that because you've never seen that book in your life. But at any rate, This is what we're going to be studying over the course of the next couple of months, and I want it to be a help to you, but I want to start off by giving some statistics here and really just starting to think about how we read the Bible, or starting to think about our interaction with God's Word. And that's the purpose of this, is to make it personal to us. But here's some statistics that you may find interesting, you may not, but these are just some things I've seen. 25% of American teenagers claim that they read the Bible at least once a week. Okay, so 25%. That was a little bit more than I thought, maybe. 3% would say that they read it on a daily basis. Okay, 3% of teenagers. Although 83% of all Americans claim to believe the Bible is the Word of God, only 42% say they read the Bible once a month. And of that group, only a select group could name one of the four Gospels, and even fewer than that knew who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. So there's this dichotomy between people who say, yeah, that's the Word of God, then it breaks down when it starts to get to the practical side of people who actually read it and who actually then actually know something about it. Okay, so it just begins to break down. So we ask the question, if a high percentage of people would say, hey, yeah, that's God's Word, why is it that more of those people are not reading it? And that's the question that I want to pose to you this morning, and we're going to examine this. What are some roadblocks to people reading the Scriptures more faithfully? And I want you to ask yourself maybe that question. Now, I understand that in here this morning, we probably have a wide variety of people in regards to how much engagement you have with the Word of God outside of church. Okay, now, Brother Scott, I study the Bible, four times a week. In every service, I am studying the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about outside of church, okay? Outside of someone sticking the Bible in front of you and sort of forcing your hand in a sense, okay? But what are the roadblocks that sometimes we encounter to doing that more often or doing it on our own? And I want to pose that question to you this morning. Gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind passing some pens out and some paper here. And you're just going to answer this question anonymously, okay? Don't write your name. I don't know your handwriting, okay? If you want to use your opposite hand to write this because you're worried I'll know who you are, that you can do that. Just make sure it's legible, okay? That's all I ask, because I'm going to share this with the group, okay? So please, 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 it's only helpful if you're honest, all right? So again, the question is, what is it that keeps you from maybe reading the Bible more often? Okay, well, what is it? Okay, is it time? Okay, is it understanding? Is it, you know, you answer this question honestly. Okay, nobody's going to link it back to you. Once you put your answer down, fold your piece of paper over, and then we'll collect them here in a second. Some of you are like, Brother Scott, my Bible reading's 5 or 6 hours a day currently. It's hard for me to answer this question. All right. If you're ready to turn that in, let's go ahead and just pass them to the center. Pass them on down, down the row there. Fold it over. Pass it on down to the center. Those of you who are passing, no peeking. No peeking. Okay. Yeah, this is important for us, and I'm going to read some of these because it's good for us to know where we're at. You know, sometimes we just don't talk about the ways in which we struggle. And failure to identify those things is a failure to make things personal to us. So, all right, we got a good stack here. Some of you went crazy on the fold over, my word. Okay, all right, you guys ready for some of these? Okay, all right, so I'm going to go through these as quickly as I can, and I won't commentate on these. All right, being tired. Time. Sometimes I'm busy and I forget. That's two reasons. Somebody did nothing. Laziness. Oh, calling it what it is. Being busy. Thanks, Brother Chase. I don't have a lot of time to need it. I don't have a lot of time to need it. Okay. I read the Bible almost every day when I can. I read the Bible almost every day when I can. I feel like I know it already. Whoa, man. I want to commentate on that. All right, let's keep going. All right, twice a week for 10 minutes. Twice a week. Okay, somebody's giving us their schedule. That's good. I forget to do it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Forgetting. I'm too busy to read it more than once a day. I don't have time. Time. These are getting shorter. Time. Distractions, laziness, lack of time. It's hard to understand sometimes. All right, a few more left here. These are good. All right, somebody wrote small. I try to read my Bible daily. I probably read it 4 to 5 times a week. Time and being tired. Oop, somebody wrote a book. Sometimes I don't feel like I see immediate results in my Christian walk, or I'd rather do something else. There's some things that I just don't understand. Time, mostly. I've never been able to read consistently. Oops. Oh, and they wrote small. I forget or don't have time. Okay. All right. Yep, and that's nothing. All right. How many of you are surprised at what you heard? Anybody surprised at what you heard? No? No? Sort of? Yeah, sort of. Some are surprised, some aren't. Okay. All right, but you get the idea that you know, 98% of these, you know, somebody's saying, hey, there is a roadblock there. Okay, in other words, you know, here's the mark of where I want to be, but maybe it's understanding. You know, maybe it's time, maybe it's busyness, maybe it's, you know, fatigue or being tired, that sort of thing. And the truth is we all can struggle in this area. And sometimes we struggle because of our misunderstanding of the Word of God, our lack of understanding on how to approach it or how to read it. And I think this study is going to be really important for where we're at. So let me give you the time that we have left. You're already in Psalm 119. I want you to look at verse 18. And this is the prayer that we're going to pray as we do this study. And I think it's going to help us. If you were at the ranch, this verse was a focal point to Brother Kwame's preaching. But nonetheless, we're going to make this prayer for our series. And it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, would you help us with this series? Father, it is already clear that we are often not what we should be or even want to be in regards to how often we read your word. And Lord, I believe that sometimes that can be because we just have a lack of understanding about the book in general and how to process it, how to approach it. So Lord, we're asking that you would remove all mental barriers from us. And Lord, as we examine some of these, Lord, that you would give us some solutions as well. Lord, be with the few moments we have left together. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to give you just a quick six things this morning, six reasons why many times we don't read the Bible. Some of these you have often heard, you've heard this morning, but nonetheless, these are things that I think that we need to identify. Okay, so let's look at these. All right, number one, someone says it's not relevant for today. Maybe you've even thought that. Okay, the Word of God it's an ancient book, Brother Scott. I mean, is it really relevant for the day and time that I'm living in? I mean, we've got technology, I mean, we've got computers, we've got, you know, artificial intelligence. I mean, this is the day we're living in. Is an ancient book, such as the Bible, really all that applicable to the day that we're living in? If you've thought that, you're not alone. Many people have thought that as well. But let's just think about this for a second. And actually, the Bible speaks to this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice with me here a familiar verse to many probably, but notice what it says in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So the Bible is telling us, it's almost like the Lord knew we were going to have this question. Okay? The longer time gets separated from this book, probably the more that question will come up. And yet the Bible's telling us, the Lord is telling us, hey, that this book it's profitable. Now, he goes into detail as to how it's profitable in our lives. We're not going to so much get into that, but notice the following words just to at least mention it. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, so this is speaking to, is it relevant for today? And the answer to that question is yes. We could say a number of things because it's relevant because it tells us how we got here. I mean, where would we be without the Word of God speaking into our existence? You would be where all the other crazy theories of how we got here are today. I was greatly encouraged talking to Brother Price in France, and he was mentioning that there was a mainstream religious book that had entered the shelves of some of the local stores in his area, and realizing that France is a very liberal place. But he said, this was a very interesting book, and I was starting to get questions, people who knew I was a pastor, about this book. People in the community, unsaved people reading it, and basically it was written by a man who said, listen, evolution is not the answer. It cannot be the answer for our existence. And it basically a scientist who just went through, and the fact that this gained traction among the community really speaks to maybe how some people are really beginning to realize just how far-fetched the idea of our existence coming through that form could be. And yet, man is still asking the question. And man is still trying to put together things to make sense of it all. And that's where the Bible speaks so well to the existence of man. And so is it relevant? It absolutely is, because it speaks to our existence and how we got here. It's relevant because it tells us about God's character. Where would we be if we only had the idea or perception that, hey, there must be a God, and we knew nothing about him? Well, talk about a frustrating place to be. There are people groups who are at that place. People who need missionaries to come and tell them the rest of the story, so to speak, to bring the Bible to them, or even to have it translated into their language. But we have the Bible in our language, and it's relevant because it speaks to our existence, but it also speaks to us about the character of God. You know, if I don't know the character of God, I can form a lot of false ideas about his character. And you will realize that even Christians, people like us today, have a lot of false ideas about the Lord, because oftentimes we maybe say, well, the Bible doesn't speak to things that I think it should. But without it speaking to the character of God, how do we know? How are we aware of how our God responds to us or to anyone? It's relevant because it tells us how we got here. It tells us the character of God, explains how we can have victory over sin. It reveals to us what the blessed life looks like. It reveals to us what a life lacking God's blessing looks like. The Bible says that the Old Testament, it was written for our example. So we can see a man named Saul, and we can see his deficiencies, and we can see his disobedience, and see how that turned out. So the Lord shows us a clear distinction of what pleases God versus what does not please God. How frustrating it would be if we did not have that viewpoint. And it's relevant because it shows us how to have fulfilled relationships. Well, I'll tell you, relationships are a key part of this life. I mean, you're born into a family. And wow, let me tell you, families sometimes can have strained relationships. And then you go to school, and sometimes classes can have strained relationships. How many of you say, Brother Scott, I can attest to that classes can sometimes have strained relationships, okay? Relationships are a huge part of life. Well, how do you know how to conduct yourself, and how does that other person know how to conduct themselves? Well, we have a book that speaks to that. And boy, how relevant the Word of God is for today. And so sometimes we think, well, it's an ancient book. Is it relevant? It absolutely is. Let me give you a second one. Sometimes it's, I don't have the ability to understand. Boy, and we saw some of that this morning. And that's a real thing. Sometimes based on our knowledge of the Word of God itself, that affects how we're able to process Scripture when we read it. Well, I think we've all had that thing before where we've read something and thought, whoa, what just happened there? Believe it or not, Brother Scott sometimes reads Scripture and thinks to himself, man, I have no idea what that's talking about. And so I have to dig in. I have to do some research. I have to read it again. I have to ask help from the Lord. And so this is a real thing. I don't have the ability to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and turn to verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Notice what it says. It says, let's back out to verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this is the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so the writer of Corinthians here is telling us that the Holy Spirit is involved in revealing truth to us. So that's something that we need to invite the Lord in, just like, Lord, open thou mine eyes, Lord. Lord, as I read this passage, would you help me? And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is there to help us with that. But you know, sometimes understanding is related to where we are in our Christian growth. Paul told the same church, he said, listen, you're not at a place yet in your spiritual life where I can give you this really strong truth. I've had to focus on the milk of the word. And so sometimes it's related to where we're at in our spiritual growth. But nonetheless, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to help us in this process so that we don't have to stand and say, well, I don't read because I don't have the ability to understand. No, we do. We do. We have to invite the Lord in, though. Number three, I just don't have time. And this one came up time and time again, right, as we were looking at that. I just don't have time. And really, this is the priority problem. If you go to Psalm 40, with me after you're done writing that down, those of you who are taking notes, Psalm 40, we'll look at a quick verse over here. Boy, it's so easy to lean on this excuse. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 8, notice David's heart here. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You know, I think the time factor is so often not so much of a time issue, but it's a priority issue and it's a delight issue. You know, David made time for that which he delighted in. And he delighted in the law of God, and so therefore he made time for it. And certainly we could go around the room this morning and say, hey, what do you delight in? You know, what do you delight in? Because I guarantee you, whatever that is, you are absolutely making time for that. Okay? Whether it's video games or, you know, spending time with your friend or, you know, what have you. Whatever that is you enjoy is that which you are making time for. And so you and I have to set aside those things that we are naturally drawn to maybe and say, hey, you know what? I want to take steps in this area. I know the Lord wants me to take steps in this area. And so I need to move beyond this roadblock. And I need, Lord, would you help me delight in your word and overcome an excuse that, well, I just don't have time. Number four, very quickly. You know, we've seen, is it relevant for today? I don't have the ability to understand. Number three, I just don't have time. Number four, I'm not really sure about what it says. And this is the confidence issue. Sometimes people are not confident in the Bible, period. And so they have a hard time. Well, I'm just not sure. You know, I take a look at those miracles and I see what Jesus is doing, but I'm not 100% sure that I have confidence in what it is telling me. Now, sometimes this can be an unsaved person, obviously someone who has strong doubts about something Jesus is doing is having a hard time believing on Jesus himself. But sometimes doubt can come to us. And so we have to be careful of that. And we obviously don't want to get bogged down in that type of attitude that says, you know, I just don't have any confidence in God's word. Let me give you the last two and then we're done. Someone says, well, it's just not exciting. It's just not exciting. I'd rather read my comic book that's got the pictures in it. And I'd rather, check in with my anime and really enjoy, how many of you like anime? Nobody? Okay, one person. Great. Maybe you say it's just, you know, it doesn't have quite the thrill that some other things do. And again, that's a failure to process some of the truth of the Bible and its significance in our lives. And then the last thing here, sometimes a roadblock to people who won't read the Bible, don't read the Bible, or struggle to read the Bible, it really comes down to this last one. I just don't see the value. I just don't see the value in it. And to me, this one is so often connected with all the other reasons. Really, if we saw the value and we had a clear picture of that, we would be more drawn to reading the Scriptures on a regular basis. Sometimes we, maybe when it comes to our Bible reading, we lean on our impact points. And we say, Brother Scott, I see the value in reading my Bible, doing my devotions, because at the end of the year, I get something special. Boy, there's great value in that. Well, what if the impact points were stripped away? I wonder how faithful we would be to reading the Bible. I wonder, would we be wise enough to see the eternal worth and value that is there for us even now without the impact points? You know, impact points are great. You know, I think it's great incentive to hopefully establish a routine in our lives that will carry us through the rest of our lives. But I want you to see the value behind studying and reading the Word of God for yourself, because it will help you live the life that God wants you to live for His glory. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and oh, how it has made such a difference in our lives. Father, I pray that You would be with each one of these teenagers as they gave feedback, Lord, identifying sometimes the roadblock that keeps us from, Lord, learning about Your character, being reminded of the need for us to trust You, seeing how we can obtain victory over sin and, Lord, win over temptation. Lord, would You be with each one of us as we identify, Lord, those areas of struggle. But Lord, may You help us be faithful and teach us as we read. In Your name we pray. Amen.